She paused and turned to face him. They stood alone in the church, breathing in the scents of candle wax and incense, familiar smells that brought back a childhood of other Christmases, other masses. The days when stepping into a church provoked none of the turmoil she was now feeling. "Good night, Daniel," she said, turning toward the door.
"Will it be another 4 months until I see you again?" he called out after her.
"I don't know."
"I've missed our talks, Maura."
Again, she hesitated, her hand poised to push open the door. "I've missed them, too. Maybe that's why we shouldn't have them anymore. We haven't done anything to be ashamed of." "Not yet," she said softly, her gaze not on him, but on the heavy carved door which stood between her and escape.
"Maura, let's not leave it like this between us. There's no reason we can't maintain some sort of..."
He stopped. Her cell phone was ringing. She fished it out of her purse. At this hour, a ringing phone could not mean anything good. As she answered the call, she felt Daniel's eyes on her, felt her own jittery reaction to his gaze.
"Dr. Iles," she said, her voice unnaturally cool.
"Merry Christmas," said Detective Jane Rizzoli.
"I'm kind of surprised you're not at home right now. I tried calling there first."
"I came to midnight mass."
"Geez, it's already 1 a.m. Isn't it over yet?"
"Yes, Jane, it's over. And I'm about to leave," said Maura in a tone of voice that cut off any more queries. "What have you got for me?" she asked, because she already knew that this call was not a simple hello, but a summons.
"Address is 210 Prescott Street, East Boston, a private residence. Frost and I got here about a half hour ago."
"Details?"
"We're looking at one Vic, a young woman."
"Homicide?"
"Oh, yeah."
"You sound pretty sure of yourself."
"You'll see when you get here."
She disconnected and found Daniel still watching her. But the moment for taking risks, for saying things they both might come to regret, had passed. Death had intervened.
"You have to go to work?"
"I'm covering tonight."
She slipped the phone back into her purse. "Since I don't have any family in town, I volunteered."
"On this, of all nights?"
"The fact that it's Christmas doesn't make much difference to me."
She buttoned up her coat collar and walked out of the building, into the night. He followed her outside, and as she tramped through freshly fallen snow to her car, he stood watching her from the steps, his white vestments flapping in the wind. Glancing back, she saw him raise his hand in a goodbye wave. He was still waving as she drove away.